You're the launch band. We're so excited that you chose to be here on Epiphany Sunday and to worship with us. We want to let you know what's going on at Asbury. So in your bulletin, if you don't have one, you can get one. There are announcements. I just want to run through what we got going on here. If you have any questions on confirmation, there's a meeting on January 6th and the 13th. If you have any questions, contact Laura Stinnett. Her contact information is also in the bulletin. We want you to get involved here at the church in 2019. Coming to church every Sunday, holds a special place in my heart, not only because I lead worship, but it's so special to be here with your church family. And it's even more special when you're involved and you have somewhere to plug in. So we encourage you to get involved in 2019. So just let us know, what you're interested in, what your passion is, what's on your heart, and we will find a place for you. Also, on the 12th, which is not this coming Saturday, right?
Yeah.
We're having the church planning meeting where we talk about our vision for 2019 and what you want to see happen and the ideas that you have. And we want to hear your voice. Sometimes as a church staff, you can kind of be blind to what the congregation wants, right? And we want to be a church where you feel welcome and your ideas are heard. So come to the planning meeting. It's going to be awesome. It's this Saturday. With that said, let's all stand and greet each other, and then we'll worship together. Let's worship together this morning. one I've been hearing on the radio a lot lately, and in the new year, it's my resolution to mix in some new songs in here, all right? This is called Who You Say I Am. Time we're going to invite the children to come forward and see Miss Lita Anglin.
Good morning. Come on. Good morning. Oh, thank you. Really? I think everybody's asleep. Are you asleep, Libby? No? You're sleepy. That's okay. So let me ask you something. Have you ever tried to walk in the dark when it's so dark you can't see anything at all? Like in the middle of the night and you had to get up and go to the bathroom? Yeah. Do you ever?
I think
you did that when you were three? Okay. I do it all the time. Yeah. So it's so dark you can't see. Do you ever stub your toe or fall down?
I do.
You do? Thank you for participating. Yeah, I've fallen down too. That's probably not hard to believe. So it's so hard to walk in the dark. So if you're going to walk around in the dark, you need, what do you think? Flashlight. And you know what? The Bible even says so. in Isaiah, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Who do you think that was? Who's the son? Jesus? Okay. In fact, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Just as a flashlight lights our way in the dark, Jesus lights our way through life, and he lights the way to God the Father. A flashlight helps to keep us from stumbling over things in the dark, and Jesus helps to keep us from stumbling over problems of life. By the way, this is my favorite flashlight. You know why? Because it's so bright. In fact, it's so bright that whenever I turn it on, I have to put on, what do you think? Sunglasses. And these are special. I have to put on my sunglasses. Now, but though, with my sunglasses on, I can't read this, Miss Laura. So I have to put on my sunglasses. So when I turn it on, let me show you how bright it is. One, two, three. So, oh no. Let's see what's going on. What do I need to make a flashlight work? No batteries. That's not good, is it?
We need batteries.
I need batteries, you're right. So, well, I guess you can't always depend on a flashlight, can you? But you can always depend on Jesus Christ to light our way through life and to light the way to the Father, because Jesus is the light of the world. That's something we should pray about. Can we all pray? Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to be the light of the world. We pray that he will always light our way through life and light the way to you. We thank you in his holy name. Amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us.
It's that time, that very special time, when we as a church family come to God in prayer. And I would add to your personal prayers the name of the family of Pat Yancey, a member of our church who passed away, and we were notified of that this morning, as well as one of our own regular members of this congregation, Leanne Wilson. She lost her mother over the weekend, so please lift her and her entire family up in prayer as we go to God now in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, well, you've done it again. You've given us a new year. You've allowed us to travel in space over the bridge of 2018 to 2019, and here we are. And we thank you for that gift of life, and we know that the calendar is our thing and not yours. That a day is like 1,000 years to you, O God. But this gift of time is a true gift. Forgive us when we do not use it wisely. Forgive us when we are not using our time to help others. When we're not using our time to grow closer to you in prayer and study of your word. Forgive us when we're not reaching out in time to those hurting and need us. So, O God, as we enter into this new year, you already know the ways that we're going to disappoint you because of our sin. And you already know the moments that we are going to cry with joy and praise you because of your goodness. And even in the good times and those times in which we are aware we are deeply flawed, it doesn't matter to you because you love us all the time. But you do hope for all of us, O God, that we will love more and sin less, that we will serve more and receive less, that we will grow more in humility and seek being personally exalted less. And we know all of this because you gave us Jesus. You give us Jesus. And through Jesus, we have all of the model and knowledge that we need as to how to live this life which glorifies you. And in glorifying you, we receive deep joy. So God, we do confess our sins. We do ask for forgiveness. We do seek to be people of grace, offering forgiveness to others. And we do deeply desire to love you and to love others. And we pray this prayer in the name of the one who taught us all these things and so much more, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we begin this new year, we're so excited about the ways that God's going to bless people that are all in our community and in our world because of the gifts that we give faithfully every single week, and knowing that God will use them far beyond our own small vision, that God will use them to grow his kingdom in mighty ways. So let us pray. Most gracious God, we are excited to give you these gifts. We are excited knowing that you're going to take them and do wondrous things beyond our imagination. So God, help us to be truly faithful to your mission, growing your kingdom and disciples for Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth. Forward and she preaches about how you are the light of our life in this new year where our resolutions may fail and where all of our positivity may some days turn into doubt. God, that we can lean on you and you will always show us the way by being our light. We pray this in your name. Amen.
This morning, our scripture passage is rather brief. It's from John 8, and it's the 12th verse. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the word of God for the people of God. So, today is Epiphany. I always think it's really cool when the actual day of Epiphany, January 6th, falls on Sunday. Epiphany, that's kind of an intriguing word, isn't it? I mean, it took me a while to actually understand what it meant. And I think about the wise men, and as they were seeking the Epiphany found within the manifestation of Messiah in Jesus Christ. If we have an epiphany, we believe a revelation has truly occurred to us. Some kind of revelation, usually something we weren't expecting, obviously something we didn't pre-think because it came to us. And so I think it's very interesting that Jesus Christ gives us an epiphany using the comparison of light to shine into our lives. And he did that in a time in which the world had no idea how dark they had become. And as I think about that, there are moments when I feel, can this world become any darker? And so when I have that feeling, as I'm sure some of you may also have that thought, thank you, Jesus, for being available as our light, to shed your perspective, to shed your spirit. Light, so important to us. All we have to do is lose power for a few hours or, heaven forbid, days, and we suddenly remember how important electricity and light are to us. I mean, it's very important. Some almost 20 years ago, we lived in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and I served Lakeside United Methodist Church, beautiful church, and we had an ice storm. Do you remember that in the year 2000? This awful ice storm. And in South Arkansas, it seemed to be even more affected. And it lasted for not 1 week, but into the second week, about 10 days. And it was so bad that where my parents were down in Camden, they would take Dad at the hospital because he was a double amputee. But they wouldn't take Mom because she still had a little bit of mobility. So on that icy Highway 79, I had to drive very carefully to go get my mother and bring her back. Now, we were without power, right? But we did have a wood-burning fireplace, and we had wood and Tony's Coleman campfire stove. So we were better off than some. But after 10 days of being as creative and pioneer-like as we could, and again, dealing with Mom, who was had so many health issues. Well, Tony had had it. And we lived in this two-story Dutch colonial at the time. And I remember hearing up as if from the heavens, my younger daughter yelling to my older daughter, "Stay away from Dad, he's lost it." Yeah, it's true. We become so dependent on electricity. We become so dependent on light and power that we don't want to even imagine our lives without it, especially in this technological age. We just don't even want to imagine it being so inconvenient. But beyond the physical element of light, certainly we recognize the importance, even more so, of our spiritual element of light. So important is light to God that God in his word planted that specific element, that specific word of light 272 times. Just got to love Google. I didn't go through the whole Bible and count how many times it was light. So 272 times, and in the list of order of creation, light is only second to the heavens and the earth being created.
Brass paperweight is my list of things to do today.
So, telling Caleb, I'm going to be talking of light and lists, and he comes up with a country song. But anyway, those of you that know me well know I'm not into country, but that's okay. Now, speaking of lists with January, many of us got fresh, new, clean, crisp calendars. And we're already in those calendars. I know most of you probably do it on the phone, but I mean, my thumbs get tired, you know, so I could do this a little better. And so, you know, we're doing these lists, and we've got all these kinds of ideas and projects, and some of us have lists, and some of our spouses have made the list, and their projects to do and things to change and things we want to improve upon in ourselves and places to go. And so last night I'm coming in from Fayetteville, and many of you know, and if you don't know, then I need to be sure and say it several times, that I have a new grandbaby, a new grandson. And so I'll go up there to see my daughter and Lane Austin, who's 3 and a half, in this little baby cabinet. And so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going on the auspices to help Katie with children. And when I get there, she wants me to help organize. She wants me to help her go through Lane Austin's toys so she has more room for more toys that we got at Christmas. And, then, of course, then Camden, it won't be very long. He's in those roller things all over the house. So, you know, she had a list for her mother. Lists are great. We live by them. We prioritize our lives by them. And what is important to us, you know, our priority of how we spend our time, you know, are we going to spend more time this year with this relationship or with this friendship? Or are we going to spend more time on this aspect of our household functioning better? I mean, what are we going to do in our list? And, you know, you have to know, if you're my age, you know, 40-something and older, what? I don't look 40. So you have to understand that as you get older, lists become really important. Really important. In fact, my staff is convinced that on my epitaph of my tombstone, which kind of bothers me, they're thinking about that, there's going to be a sticky note on there that says, write it down. Can I hear an amen from my staff? Wake up back there. Yeah, write it down. Make a list. Comes off out of my mouth all the time. But, you know, here's the deal. We got to remember, as we read God's holy word, God was into lists. God was into lists. I mean, my goodness. Moses came down the mountain with a list. And then, you know, there's Jesus came up with a list or two. A list of blessings. We call them Beatitudes. And then Apostle Paul had a list. Galatians 5, a list of good fruit, a list of bad fruit. So the most important list of all, I believe, is the list of what Jesus did with the first list, the Ten Commandments. He made us a short list. Jesus knows us really well. He knows that we've got a lot of stuff, you know, juggling around here. So he takes the first five commandments, which are all about love God. Let's go through them just really quickly. Probably wouldn't hurt us. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You should not have the Lord's name in vain. You shall take the Sabbath and keep it holy. So he's going through this. He goes, okay, I'm going to help you out. You know, we're going to make this less complicated. Love the Lord your God. Okay. And then he takes the second five of the list. Let's recall those. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's property. And that's all about loving yourself and loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor as yourself. So he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I appreciate that about Jesus. Masterful. He knows how we will remember simple things, but we tend to complicate them. So God sent us Jesus, Son of God, not only to save us, to make us wiser, to show us how to live and to live in love. And Isaiah the prophet prophesied this to us in the 49th chapter. Hear these words. You are my servant Israel, in whom I display my splendor. And the Lord God said, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. Therefore, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Can you remember the last time you felt close to the light? Can you remember the warmth? Can you remember the clarity in that moment of light? Can you remember that it gave you a sense of the familiar, that all of a sudden you were surrounded and it felt comfortable? It gave you confidence and direction that you were not alone. My friends, darkness doesn't do that for you. Darkness doesn't do that for you. Darkness causes doubt and fear. Darkness causes us to almost venture into paranoia. Darkness causes denial. Darkness is cold, and it hurts my heart to know people within our church family and beyond the walls of Asbury who are experiencing darkness in separation and pending divorce. It hurts my heart to know that we have wonderful people in our church who need a job. And you may not even know that because people don't talk about such things. We make these fast judgments. Well, what did you do? Well, why were you let go? And they're hurting, and they're in darkness. There are people who are silently suffering from illness, from depression, feeling alone because I don't know what those test results will bring. And you don't know about this darkness because you don't speak of such things. You don't want to look like you're being pitiful. You don't want anybody's self-pity. Darkness. People are having darkness. And it's cold and they feel alone. Well, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is God did not give you a savior of darkness. God gave you a savior of light. A light that can penetrate any darkness that you may experience. And I hate to say it, but in this new, bright, shining, fresh year, you're going to have some moments of darkness. But you're not going to be by yourself, you see, because you've got the light. And it doesn't need batteries. It's the light of Jesus Christ. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I can remember those times of light. I remember being 11, 12 years old, standing in front of the prayer rail of my home church and giving my life to Jesus Christ at confirmation and knowing what that meant and how that took on a deeper meaning the rest of my life as I grew in my faith. And I can remember, you know, the light that would come in my mind and my heart being raised by two godly women and the things that they would share and teach, sometimes just in their actions, not always in their words, and the light that would come off and go, I can do that. I know I can do that. And then I remember the light standing in front of the altar once again on my wedding day, and I'm going, okay, I went through a lot of frogs, and here's my prince. And the light of Christ, yeah, this is the one you're supposed to be with. And I can remember the light of blessing, pure blessing I felt in the birth of our children. And I can remember just a few days ago raising my arm with the rest of you on Christmas Eve and saying, thank you, God, for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Christ is born today as I lifted my light. God gave us a Savior of light. It's always present and available. So, this King of Kings that we honor in worship and sacrament, can you imagine what he feels? Because I believe Christ has feelings. Can you imagine what Christ feels when we do not take advantage of his availability to us? That we go for some self-help book instead or some therapy session instead. And not that those tools and resources are bad, but they're nothing in comparison to Jesus. Amen? So if we're not going to Christ, who is there, what does that mean? I mean, he's there. Who moved? Guarantee you it wasn't Jesus. Well, someone out there is experiencing darkness. And part of that reason is they either don't know Jesus or they've forgotten to go to Jesus. And I quite frankly can't think of a better time than the beginning of a new year to go to someone who maybe needs to be reminded or maybe needs to be introduced to the most powerful light, the most powerful source, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to help them through. Remember the Psalm 23, the shepherd? He is our good shepherd. I mean, Jesus says, I am, about 11 times in the Gospel of John. And one of the things he says is, I am the good shepherd. Okay, Psalm 23, I shall take you through the shadow of the valley of death. He doesn't wait for you on the other side, hoping you get through it, hoping you get there. He's holding your hand through it, amen. And it's shadows and darkness, and Jesus, the light, is there, and he's taking you through. I love that word through. It's one of the most valuable words in the 23rd Psalm. You know, so many of people we work with and maybe live with and maybe associate with have gotten trapped. They have fallen in the trap of the false light, of the security of, say, a relationship or finances or family or career, and they've gotten monopolized and sucked into it and forgetting about the light. I mean, you don't ever want to choose career over Christ. Your career is not going to save you. Your family's not going to save you. Your idolized relationships are not going to save you. Even your bank account is not going to save you. Jesus was given to us by God, and God told us in Gospel of John 3:16. I love you so much, I'm giving you my only son, that if you'll just believe in him, you'll have life everlasting. You'll not perish. You'll have eternal life. And then again in John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the Word. What's the Word? The Word was with God. Who was with God? The Word was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. An epiphany. It's a light. A revelation. Last summer, as I do each summer, I have Lane Austin, our 3.5-year-old, come and stay with us. Yes, she's a little preoccupied right now. Notice how I kind of shared that recent picture with y'all. So she came and stayed with us, and we always enjoy it so much. And it was Sunday, and we were getting her ready to go with us to church. And she looked at me, and I'm sorry, I get a little teared up about this. She looked at me with those innocent, full blue eyes of hers, and she said, Jesus is gone. And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean Jesus is gone? He's not here. And I said, well now honey, he's not here walking with us like you and I are walking and about to walk and get in the car and go to church. But he's with us. He lives in a very special place. He lives in our heart, where he loves us and protects us and walks with us in our steps, watching over us. She pointed to the left side of her chest and she goes, here? In my heart? And I said, he surely does. She nodded like, well, okay. So that evening, she was home back in Fayetteville with her parents, and she had shared with them this conversation that she had held from about 12 hours from that morning when we were going to church to when she finally was there ready for bed in her home. And her parents couldn't wait to call me after they tucked her in bed. to share these words. She had said, "Mommy, Daddy, don't ever worry. I am safe. You are safe. Because Jesus saves us. He's in our heart." A light had gone off in a three-year-old's mind, and the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ was planted anew in her heart. And she, now that's what you call an epiphany. She had the light, and it was with her all day long. And you better believe her grandmama will keep that light burning as we share in years to come. Is your faith burning? Would you describe your faith as a burning faith? Or is it just a faith that you're kind of glad is there for you when you need it? Or is it there for you because you got to have it, and you got to draw from it, and you got to also keep fueling it, because if you don't fuel your faith, it could be dangerous, it could run out for you. So of light and lists, make Jesus Christ the top of your list in this 2019, because you got to know you're at the top of His. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And invite the congregation to prepare their hearts and minds to receive the sacrament of the Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites you to His table, all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will, we have broken Your law, and we have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took the bread. He gave thanks unto You, and He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of Me." And after the supper was over, He took the cup. He gave thanks to You, and He gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us. Make them be for us. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I would invite those who are going to assist me this morning to please come forward, and the band members as well, as they need to. And please understand that if you need a gluten-free wafer as part of your elements today to be received, we have that available for you. And if you will be prepared to have your hands held like so, with my clean hands, I'll drop that bread right there in your cupped hands. And also, this basket here in the middle of the aisle is for any of you who care to offer a donation to our community assistance fund. We have people that come by from time to time needing help. Let us now all prepare for the sacrament of Holy Communion, and also know that you do not have to be a member of this church, that this is an open table, and we invite all to share in the sacrament.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me. Of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer.
We've feasted on the meal that God has provided by his host, his son, Jesus Christ. We've only not feasted on the food, but we've feasted on God's word and God's love and God's spirit. But the light is meant to go forward and share with others. Let us do that. Let us share the light of God's love through Jesus Christ our Lord today and always. Amen.